This is Radio Free Asgard, episode number 126. The Lay of Vafthrudnir.
"Such fever in my blood," cried Odin. "I so long to range far and wide."
Allfather prowled up and down Valaskjalf as though he were caged.
"What do you think, Frigg? I've a mind to visit Vafthrudnir in his high hall."
"I would rather the father of warriors stayed in Asgard, home of the gods," said Frigg. "So far as I know, Vafthrudnir has no equal amongst the giants."
"I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know," replied Odin. "I want to match my wits against the riddle master, the wise giant Vafthrudnir."
"Go safely, then," said Frigg. "Return safely, and may the way you're taking be safe, father of men. Your mind must be needle sharp when you pit yourself against that giant."
Then Odin left Asgard to plumb the wisdom of the giant. He ferried himself across the wild and the wide and the whispering rivers and made his way over the trembling rainbow. He pulled down his wide-brimmed hat so that no one could see that he lacked one eye, smiled grimly, and walked into Jotunheim. The further Odin went, the colder it grew. He strode over a ribbed and silent plain, bright with snow and vast plumes of steam that issued from whistling fissures. And at the mouth of a valley surrounded on three sides by the purple mountains, Odin found the hall of Ym's father, Vafthrudnir. The Terrible One entered it.
"Greetings, Vafthrudnir," Odin called out. "I've heard so much about you that I wanted to meet you. Is it true that you're wise? Can it possibly be true that there's nothing you do not know?" "Who are you?" demanded Vafthrudnir. "What man thinks he can slight me in my own high hall? You'll not leave this place alive unless you're wiser than I am." "My name is Gangrad," said Odin, "a bringer of fortune, a walking charm. It has been a hard journey to your hall, and I'm thirsty. I must say I had hoped for a warmer welcome after such a haul." "What are you standing there for?" said the giant. "There's no need to hold the floor. Choose a seat, make yourself at home. Then we'll soon find out who knows more, the guest or his time-proven host." "A poor man does best to speak to the point or say nothing at all in a rich man's hall," Gangrad said. "Tough-minded men brook little bragging."
"All right, Gangrad," said Vafthrudnir. "Answer from the floor if you can answer at all. What's the name of the stallion that every morning draws day across the world?"
"That is Skinfaxi. He is the stallion who draws shining day to gladden the eyes of men. To heroes, he seems the very best of horses, and his mane is fiery."
"All right, Gangrad," Vafthrudnir said. "Answer from the floor if you can answer at all. What's the name of the stallion that over and over again brings night from the east for the noble gods?"
"Hrimfaxi is the name of the stallion that over and over again brings night for the noble gods. Foam falls from his bit at dawn, and that's the source of the dew in the dales."
"All right, Gangrad," said Vafthrudnir. "Answer from the floor if you can answer at all. What's the name of the river that divides the world of the gods from the world of the giants?"
"Eving is the river that divides the world of the gods from the world of the giants. In time past it has never frozen. In time to come it will flow freely."
"All right, Gangrad," said Vafthrudnir. "Answer from the floor if you can answer at all. What's the name of the plain where Surt and the fine gods will meet and fight?"
"Vigrid is the plain where Surt and the fine gods will meet and fight. It's 100 miles long and 100 miles wide."
Vafthrudnir stared at his guest.
"You know much," he said. "Sit here at my bench and we will talk further. Here and now my guest in this hall will wager our heads. your life or my life on the outcome of this contest.
Then Odin sat down and began to pose his questions.
First tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if in your wisdom you know the answer. At the beginning of time, wise giant, where did the earth and the sky come from?
The earth was shaped from Ymir's flesh, and the mountains were built from his bones. The sky was made from that frost giant's skull, and the salt seas were streams of his blood.
Second, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if in your wisdom you know the answer. Where did the moon and the burning sun come from, those travelers over the world of men?
Mundulfari fathered the moon and the burning sun. Each day they run along the arc of the heavens to tell the time for men.
Third, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer. Where does day come from? And from where does night come with its waning moon, travelers over the world of men?
Delling is day's father, and Nor the father of night. New moon and old moon were shaped by the gods to tell the time for men.
Fourth, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer. Where did winter and warm summer first come from for the fine gods?
Vindsval, the wind cold, was winter's father, and gentle Svosud fathered summer.
Fifth, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and to know the answer. Who was the first of the giants, and what are the names of the firstborn?
Bergelmir was born countless winters before the making of the earth. That mighty giant was Thrudgelmir's son, and Orgelmir's grandson.
Sixth, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer. Where, wise giant, did Orgelmir and his issue come from so long ago?
Venom dropped from the stormy waves of Elvagar. It clotted and rose until it was a giant. That is how the race of giants began, and that's why we're all so fierce.
Seventh, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer. How did the grim giant conceive children, since he never slept with a giantess?
It's said that a boy and a girl grew in the frost giant's armpits, and with one leg and the other leg, that frost giant begat and bore a son with six heads.
Eighth, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer. What is your first memory? There can be nothing you do not know.
Bergelmir was born untold winters before the making of the earth. My first memory is of that wise giant in a boat's rocking cradle.
Ninth, tell me then, Vafthrudnir, if you're so wise and know the answer.
From where does the wind come that travels over the waves but yet is never seen?
The eagle, Hrasveld, the corpse eater, is said to sit at the end of the world. When he flaps his wings, wind moves over the world of men.
Tenth, tell me now if you know everything about the fates of the gods. How can Njord be one of their number? For he presides over many temples and wayside shrines, although he was not begotten by gods.
The Vanir created him in Vanaheim. At the end of the world, he'll return to his own people.
Eleventh, tell me then if you know everything about the fates of the gods. Who are the men in Odin's Hall who go out to fight each day?
All the dead heroes in Odin's Hall go out to fight each day. They fell each other, and then soon return healed from the fight to sit at the feast.
12. Tell me now how you know about all the fates of the gods. You are indeed able to read the runes of the gods and the runes of the giants.
I am indeed able to read the runes of the gods and the runes of the giants, because I know and have visited the nine worlds, and Niflheim below, the place where dead men dwell.
Then Odin said,
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all the gods know I know. What will survive when at the end the terrible winter afflicts men?
Lif and Lifthrasir will hide themselves in Hodmimir's wood. The dew each dawn will be their food. That will be their meat then.
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know. From where will the sun come back to the smooth sky after Fenrir has torn her apart?
Alfrothel, the elf beam, will bear a fair daughter before Fenrir tears her apart. This maid will walk in her mother's ways after the gods have been destroyed.
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know. Who are the wise maidens who will wing over the sea?
3 times 3 maidens will fly over Mogthrasir's hill, and though they have giant's blood, they will guard the children of men.
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know. Who will rule over the world of the gods when Surt's fire dies out?
Vidar and Vali will live in the home of the gods when Surt's fire has abated. Modi the Wrathful and Magni the Mighty will own the hammer Mjolnir after Vingnir the Hurler has fallen in the fight.
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know. What will cause Odin's death when the gods fight at Ragnarok?
The wolf will swallow the father of men. Vidar will avenge him. He will tear apart those terrible jaws, and Fenrir will be slain.
I've roamed far, and I've learned much, and all that the gods know, I know. What did Odin himself whisper in the ear of his son Baldur before he burned on the pyre?
Vafthrudnir looked long at his guest and recognized him. He said in a low voice,
"No one can tell what long ago you whispered in the ear of your son. Before I told of the first giants and the doom of the gods, I was already fated."
The giant spoke his final words in his life.
"I've pitted myself against Odin. You will always be wiser and wisest."
All right, so here we are with the Lay of Valfthrudnir. This is one of those stories that is obviously meant to educate. This is one of those stories like the Lay of Alvis, which we covered, I think it was a couple myths ago, where it's not so much a narrative story as two people sitting back and forth talking to each other. Not very action-packed. Now, we are getting to some of the more action-packed myths as we go forward. There's a lot of these sort of small ones, and because the shows have been running long anyway because of Thor Godstorm, I didn't want to do one of these really long ones. I think occasionally we're going to get some that are just going to take an entire episode, and hopefully y'all won't mind that too much. I actually enjoy doing these myths a lot, and there have been a number of people who've suggested that I compile these mythological segments into a compilation sort of show of just the myths. And I don't think that that's a bad idea. If other people think it's a good idea and if people would download it, then y'all should write in and let me know. I mean, that's something that, you know, it would be easy to do. It wouldn't take a ton of time because, after all, they've already been edited. And I could just compile them in the order, either the order of the myths in the book, or try to find some other sort of thematic way of doing it. Anyway, so we do have an issue of Thor to cover here. We're going to be covering Thor Godstorm number 2. And because we ran so long last time, I think we should just get right to it. So here we go with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder.
All right, so before we get into our review, I just wanted to let people know that that Back to the Bins episode that I spoke about last time has now been recorded. Yes, so keep an eye out for it over at the Two True Freaks Radio Network. And it should be Back to the Bins, probably posted sometime in the next couple of weeks. They didn't actually say when it was going to be edited and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun to do. You know, it's the first time that I'd actually recorded with any of those guys. And, of course, it included Scott Gardner, who used to do the Tales of the JSA podcast, which is I was a big fan of before they, stopped doing it. and a couple other guys that I hadn't actually recorded with before. We had Paul Spataro, who I guess is sort of the main guy on the show now. And also Bill Robinson, who is, of course, a member of the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. So anybody out there who would like to join the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group, you should do that as well. All right. So, as promised, we are covering this week Thor Godstorm number 2. This issue was cover dated November of 2001, retailed for $3.50. Cover art is a beautiful painted cover here by Steve Rude, who also did the interiors, and shows Thor in battle with a unnamed yet strangely familiar-looking supervillain. Mysterious because we haven't actually seen this character before, but familiar because he reminds me a little bit of that evil Storm from last issue. I wonder why that is. Anyway, well, we know why that is. Because we were here last episode. So if you were here last episode, you know too. So anyway, so we open up to the splash page, of course. Well, the credits page anyway, where we get the credits. Kurt Busiek wrote this. Steve Rude was the penciler. Mike Royer, one of the best Jack Kirby inkers around, inked it. Greg Wright was the colorist. John Costanza was the letterer. LG of Comicraft did the design. Mark Sumerak was the assistant editor. Tom Brevoort was the editor. Joe Quesada was the editor-in-chief. And Bill Jamos was the president. And we open up to the real splash page, and we have the old man. And he's back to narrating the story for the two boys, though. We actually just pick up the story in mid-stride. We see Thor and the Warriors 3, and they're, of course, being drawn very Jack Kirby-ish-like, and they're going through a Asgardian sort of landscape with kind of weird twisty rocks, and they're on these horses that have steam shooting from their nostrils. And the old man, of course, is narrating.
Now, where were we? Ah, yes. Thor, God of Thunder, had been returned to Asgard by his father, Odin, who swore he would never see Midgard again. But the fate of two worlds would prove to be entwined, as I shall now relate in The Tale of the Mighty Thor and the Challenge of Torrent.
Yeah, it just doesn't get any better. This talking in titles thing. And Volstagg is riding a very sad-looking horse, and he's complaining,
"Odd's blood, this saddle must be defective, for it doth pain me greatly. Were it not for my unquenchable thirst for adventure, most surely would I be laid low."
"Aye, voluminous Volstagg," says Thor, "we do know thy thirsts well.
Be not of such dour countenance, friend Thor, for is not the day both bright and brisk?" says Fandral. "And does not the promise of battle in the offing make thy blood sing?"
"Battle indeed, Fandral," says Hogan, "for those strange fortifications the trolls built suggest they come here not for parley, as they claim, but for war."
And we get a little bit of exposition here. The trolls had contested the ancient treaties of passage through the nine worlds, and Asgard prepared to defend her rights. But Thor's heart was heavy and somber, and his thoughts elsewhere.
"And what of it, grim Hogan?" says Fandral. "We have fought trolls before. No, it is something else that causes Thor to brood."
"Thou art correct, Fandral, for I was called here from Midgard while in the midst of a crisis involving mortals, and I am uneasy about departing before I know all are safe."
"Thy dedication does thee credit, Thunderer."
"Pah!" says Volstagg. "We should return to the city gates and quaff ale. That would cheer Thor up, and Volstagg would willingly make such a sacrifice to aid a friend."
And we had the old man continuing to narrate.
"And so the brave quartet did continue on, marking well the defenses of the trolls. But ever did Thor's thoughts return to Midgard, to his life there, and his comrades."
"Are you certain of this, old one?"
"Aye, all this about Thor having a life among mortals as a healer, it makes no sense, not for a god. I know you said the runes foretell it, but..." "And you do not believe what the runes show us, Shai Ullr? Should I stop my tale and speak no more?"
"No, no. Don't listen to Ullr, sir. Speak on. Speak on."
Very well. The runesticks have shown us that Thor was right to be concerned about Midgard, for there was indeed great danger there, and as we shall see now, it was only the beginning.
And we ship back to Earth, where we have a glowy, stormy-looking energy being sort of thing standing in the middle of the street. And unlike a Jack Kirby comic, there's actually cars and stuff in the street. We'd see police cars, and there's police motorcycles, and they got barricades set up. And they did a really nice job here of creating a... basically, it's a creature out of living Kirby Crackle, which I don't think I've ever seen before. But I will say, it looks pretty darn awesome. And the cops are talking amongst themselves.
This has got to be the guy the Avengers brung in. The guy who busted out of the lockup a few hours ago.
Well, how would he know that? It doesn't look anything like the guy.
Blasted right through concrete and steel with lightning. Is it just me, Charlie? Or does this town get way more of its share of weirdos?
It's New York, Pete. What did you expect? All right, men, fan out. You know the drill. Let's take this guy down before he can hurt anyone. Us included.
And they start to fire at him, and it's really not doing any good.
Okay, pal, how about taking off that Vegas outfit and making it easy on all of us?
I don't know, Joe. I'm not so sure that is a costume.
Relax, Coop. The SWAT team's pulling up now. If we need real artillery, we'll have it.
Move it, pal. We're waiting.
How little do you know, you pathetic imbeciles? You think this is a costume, that I am some common criminal to be ordered about. Yesterday I was the Weathermaker, a man far above you, but a man nonetheless, armed with a weapons beyond compare. And even then you would have been no match for me. But now I am far more. Now I am imbued with power, the power of the storm, of its internal unyielding rage. Now I am Torrent!
And he shoots like this ray of... It's like an energy blast, but it's just wind. It's like really concentrated wind. And it's blowing the cops and their cars and everything all over the place. The whoosh! And everyone's like, whoa!
And you were but dry leaves trapped in a hurricane.
And everyone's flying over going, ah! And we shift our scene back to Asgard, where we see people frolicking about on flying horses in front of the Rainbow Bridge. And we have what looks like I don't know what it is. It's some kind of like an asteroid with light shining out of it. Just kind of sitting there. it's very, very Kirby-esque, but not like anything that Kirby would have ever drawn. So we return to Asgard, and Loki is spying on the Torrent from Asgard and gloating about what he's created here.
Ah, my magics work perfectly, as always. My scrying pool shows me Midgard, and sure enough, Thor hath been drawn from there too soon to have settled matters fully. The menace he strove against hath risen again. It is a rich jest indeed. But soft, what's this? Do the senses of Loki deceive him, or is the power behind the man below a power known to me? Oh, this is richer than I knew, far richer, for the power the man called Torrent draws upon, it is the power of the Godstorm, the selfsame storm that I did cause to turn against Thor centuries agone, and which my hated half-brother did imprison deep below the Midgardian sea floor. Ah, there is possibility here, delicious possibility.
And we cut back to the Asgardians as they are preparing for war. And Loki has decided to make his way towards the palace. And he's walking past all these Asgardian warriors. And all of them are wearing this really ornate sort of Kirby armor. And he skulks around. And eventually comes to the throne room where Thor is meeting with Odin. And Thor and Odin are talking about the potential of the trolls attacking. And Odin's like,
if the trolls call for a parley as merely a ruse, my son, then we must be prepared for any treachery. Let the word be spread. It shall be, my father.
Oh, father, I come before thee with dire tidings.
Loki, what business hast thou here? We gird for war, not thine endless schemes and trickeries. Silence, Thor! This is not the time for petty squabbles. Loki hath as much right to address his father as dost thou. Speak then, my other son, but make thy case plain, for we have little time.
Thy graciousness overwhelms me, sire, as always.
And Loki's bowing down all, you know, like all butt-kissy.
I come with fear in my heart for the realm eternal, for there is trouble in Midgard, grave trouble indeed, and trouble of Thor's own making. How will it be in the coming battle if his heart and his loyalties are divided? I pray thee, sire, to send Thor back to Midgard to settle matters, that he not be distracted.
The Thunderer's place is here, crafty one.
Oh, most assuredly. But my half-brother is mighty indeed. Surely we can deal with any mortal danger in no time and return before the parley. Thou couldst even make of it a test to determine where the loyalties of Thor truly stand.
My loyalty is unquestioned, slyest of serpents, says Thor all defensive-like. And I fear no tests, if they shall prove where my heart lies. And Odin doesn't want to hear all the squabbling. He's like, silence! Let the merest fraction of my power flow through the Odin scepter, and reveal to us all what doth transpire below. And he shines his scepter at the wall like a flashlight. And we see an image of, you know, Torrent, and he's tossing around the police cars and so forth like we saw earlier.
I am a creature of great power, whose very being doth glow with storm magics.
Says Thor. It seems the tongue of Loki doth utter truth for once. New York is imperiled.
Yes, magics Thor did turn against the realm when he capriciously imprisoned their wielder.
Enough, Loki! It doth not escape my notice that had thou not brought this to our attention, Thor's loyalties would have been unaffected, for he would have known nothing of it. But now he does, and that raises questions in my breast. So I shall grant thee the choice, Thor. Thou mayest travel to Midgard if thou dost choose. But there are two conditions. First, you must return before the parley commences. And second, if thou shouldst fail to return, it shall be taken as a sign of disloyalty, and thou wilt be disowned as crown prince in favor of Loki.
Father, I must protest. Surely this is exactly what Loki desires, the very reason he hath hatched this vile scheme.
The author hath been made, God of Thunder. How do you choose?
I shall go, my father, and shall return as promised. And know thee this, Loki, should I discover thy hand deeper in this than thou professeth, then when I return, surely thou wilt feel my wrath. And Thor leaves, leaving Loki and Odin there. And we shift scenes to the encampment of King Geroder of the Trolls. I love the design here on King Geroder. And I want to say this is the same design that we saw that Jack Kirby had created for King Geroder way, way back in the day. Back in, I think it's Tales of Asgard days. So anyway, we have King Geroder, and he's hanging out with the other trolls, and they're hanging out in their war camp where they're kind of camping around. They've got the super futuristic Kirby guns and kind of weird machinery, very, very Kirby-esque, which is kind of interesting for reasons I'll talk about at the end of the show. But all these trolls crawling around.
Supreme One, your forces stand ready. Surely the arrogance of the Asgardians will blind them to our plans, allowing us to sweep forth and crush them in one swift blow.
Dolt, Odin is not the simpleton you are. He will be ready, and his defenses will be mighty indeed. We are the trolls, and we have our own schemes, for are we not masters of weaponry and invention? Was it not we who forged Thor's hammer Mjolnir?
No.
Who crafted Odin's mighty spear Gungnir?
No again.
Aye, sire, surely shall we?
And something is like insect-like is flying really fast around this troll. And he's like,
huh? What deviltry is this? This horsefly flits around me as though it had a mind of its own.
Perhaps it does, foolish one. Perhaps it's the devil himself.
And the fly turns out to be the shapeshifter Loki, who appears before them in a puff of green smoke. And Loki's like,
"Greetings, King Geroda. As you suspect, I am no mere insect, but Loki, god of evil, here to tell thee that our bargain is at hand." "Our bargain? Wherein we conquer Asgard and set you upon the throne, doing all the work while you benefit?" "Not so, mighty one."
"You call the king a liar?"
"I merely say, brutish one, that I have labored long and hard at thy cause, oh my. I am a friend to the trolls, and have advised thee all along. Even now I bring news that Asgard lies ripe for the plucking, for I have decoyed their mightiest warrior, Thor, far away."
"You do not fool us, Loki. Well do I know that you labor only toward your own benefit, currying favor with any who might win you the throne of Asgard. Still, our desires run in harness at present, for we do fear Thor, who bested my champion Ulic in battle."
We get a scene here of Thor smashing Ulic's hammer with his own hammer. I don't remember Ulic using a hammer. I think he had those pound things, like brass knuckles that Ulic used to wear.
"For Odin, we have plans."
And we shift scenes back to Earth, where Thor has arrived at the hospital where Don Blake apparently works. And he's like, "I must make haste. Surely Loki hath not but evil in mind. But as long as innocents are threatened, I cannot shrink from the fight. But I cannot tarry, for even now time doth slip away." And he bangs his hammer on the ground, becoming Don Blake, and enters into the hospital where he finds Jane Foster. And she's like, "Don Blake, where have you been? The staff has been..." "I'm sorry, Jane, but I've got no time. The woman we treated yesterday, has she checked out yet?"
"Why, yes, but..."
"I have to know more about her case, her background."
"Well, I suppose I could find her, talk to her."
"Thanks, Jane. It may be irregular, but it could be important. We must know all we can about the man who injured her."
I'll go right away. And where will you be, Doctor?"
"I have other business to attend to." And we see a television set on in the background, and it shows this guy, Torrent, and he's throwing around the cop cars still. This has been going on for a very long time, apparently. And we have the news guy saying, "Destructive rampage continues as police prove helpless against the creature." And we shift to the scene of the crime, where Torrent has got all this like car wreckage kind of flying around him in the wind, and he's got it picking up a truck and traffic lights, and just generally is making a mess of things.
"Regretting your disdain yet, you miserable clodheads, wishing you'd respected my genius when you had the chance. Well, it's too late. Tonight's forecast: scattered skyscrapers and 100% chance of carnage."
And Thor flies down to confront Torrent and saying out loud,
"While Jane seeks out information that might prove useful, I have but one task. Stop this madman."
And he yells out to him,
"Ho, wicked one, I give thee one chance. Stand down and surrender, ere Thor, god of thunder, doth teach thee the meaning of power." "Thor, at last. I've been hoping you'd return. I owe you a thrashing, and I'll be only too happy to deliver it." "Thou may try, creature, but thou shalt fail. Now speak. Why dost thou engage in this senseless destruction?" "Now, you ask? A pity you didn't seek to learn my motives before, you self-important fool. From now on, Torrent explains nothing. Torrent simply takes what he wants," and speaks in the third person. "After all, I fought all the Avengers when I was merely the Weathermaker, and I almost won. Now I've got real power. Power you can't even begin to approach. Surrender, Thunder God."
And he's picked up a Mack truck, and he's about to smash Thor with it, with this sort of tornado. He is trying to smash Thor, and he misses. He's like,
"I think not." And Thor's like, "Thou hast power indeed, Torrent."
But then Thor just whirls his hammer around and just smashes the truck into bits with his hammer, and creates a big fire, because apparently it's a gasoline tanker or something.
"Thou hast power indeed, Torrent, but do not delude thyself. It does not match that of the mighty Thor. I know well the being that powers thee, man of Midgard. I defeated him centuries ago, and his cat's paw will find no greater success."
And Torrent doesn't take that very well. He's like,
Cat's paw, am I? Let's see you say that again when I battered your hammer into so much gravel.
And Mjolnir smashes a fire hydrant and spraying water all over Torrent. And he's like, ugh.
And so the lesson begins, Torrent. Many like you have striven against the power of Mjolnir, and many have come to regret it.
And we shift scenes again to Jane Foster, and she's gone to find this patient that had been kidnapped by the Weathermaker. And she's wearing a very, very 60s-looking kind of dress. Very, very fashionable, which was very unlike Jane Foster back in the 60s. And she's thinking to herself, according to her admission records, this is where she lives. But nobody seems to be. And the door opens, and she's like, yes? Maureen Scanlon? I'm Jane Foster, the nurse who attended you yesterday. Dr. Blake sent me to check on you. Are you all right? You look distraught. You know, she looks pretty good for a woman who had apparently a major operation just the day before.
Oh, Lord, all this destruction going on, all this carnage. I knew who caused it and why. Easy, Miss Scanlon. Why don't you sit down before you collapse? And if you'd like to talk... I'm okay, really. But all that's going on, it's all my fault. Mine. Jared Carstairs. He's become some kind of monster tearing up the city. The police can't stop him. Thank God Thor's there. It all seems so crazy. Please, Maureen, it'll help you to talk. Just tell me how it happened.
And she goes on to relate the origin of Torrent.
It's Jared Carstairs. I used to work with him. He was the star weatherman on Channel 3.
Oh, dear.
My father's TV station. He thought he was so brilliant. God's gift to the world. He asked me out. I turned him down flat. That didn't stop him, though.
Be reasonable, Maureen. I'm wealthy, handsome, clever. What more could you want in a man?
I said no, Carstairs, and I meant it. Pick you up at 8 tonight.
She continues on.
But my father was concerned about ratings, like always. He was scared that Carstairs would quit, jump to some other station.
He's the best, Maureen. If we're going to stay competitive, we got to keep him. One date. Is that so much to ask? If you still don't like him, fine. At least you gave him a chance.
We see Maureen going out to him, and they go to a restaurant with a guy playing the violin and candles and shit. And she's like,
so I gave him a chance.
And it looks like he's just kind of bragging to her. It's like,
and that's how I won my first award. Not the last, though. Not by any means. So when did you first hear of me?
And it looks like he's trying to put the moves on her, but she ends up slapping him and slamming the door in his face. So he's kind of a wolf, I guess. And we have a scene here of a, looks like a poodle peeing on a fire hydrant, too. So there we go. And she's like,
Daddy didn't say anything more, and I thought that was the end of it. Boy, was I wrong. He started to follow me wherever I went, on a date, out for exercise. Eventually, it was too much even for Daddy. Ratings or no ratings, he fired him, and it drove Carstairs round the bend. It wasn't long after that he showed up as that awful Weathermaker and kidnapped me. The Avengers saved me, and we saw that last issue. But now that creature on the news, the things it's saying, it's him, and it's gotten even worse. I'm so scared, and I don't know what to do. And I feel like I'm responsible for this somehow. Don't be ridiculous, Maureen. I may be not the best person to give advice on romance.
Oh, that's for damn sure.
But I can tell you, whatever Jared Carstairs does is not your fault. As for what to do about it, well, he and Thor seem pretty evenly matched. But I've got an idea.
And we shift back to the battle, and Thor has smashed the tanker. And I guess there's fire, but it's not really doing much of anything. And it looks like Torrent has kind of swooped up some of the fire in his winds. And Thor's like,
hast thou learned thy lesson, madman? Learn that Thor stands to protect this city and her people, and that he shall not be moved. If I've learned anything, Wings, is that you're a far bigger blowhard than I ever thought you were. Torrent has the true power here, the power of the Godstorm, and I'll see you broken and bleeding at my feet.
And we have a battle scene here, and have Thor and Tor in hand-to-hand combat, and Thor's like, so be it, battle then, and cram, bam, and it's kind of smashing each other, throwing big rocks around, and yeah, kind of a really, really good Kirby-ish battle.
Strong wings, but I've got more tricks than you. How do you like the idea of hurricane force winds from underground? Can even a so-called god stand against 1,000 tons of concrete? Can even your vaunted hammer stop them all? Ha!
And you see the crowd watching this, what's going on here. Very, very typical Kirby crowd. Except for a couple of the characters who don't look like they're drawn by Kirby. They actually kind of look like they were drawn by John Romita Sr. It's Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. And Gwen is saying, Peter, is he?
Don't worry, doll. Thor's no pushover.
And Thor's like, fear not, mortals. Thor hath not endured these long ages without good reason.
And now, Torrent, 'twas my power over the storms that brought down thy master ages agone.
And he raises his hammer, and he starts to control the weather. And it shall be that power that lays thee low today.
Hear me, forces of cloud and wind. Gather at my command. Bring down lightning and smite this.
You know, the rain just kind of stops, and Thor's like, hey, what doth transpire? The storm fails me. And Torrent is like, ha, the winds that swirl around us now are my wind's wings, and I'm powered by the one storm that doesn't obey you. So much for you.
And the people in the crowd are starting to panic, and it's like, what's the deal here? Is Goldilocks the real goods or not?
Of course he is, Mac. Nobody bats 1,000, that's all. Now stay back, all of yous. Give the man some room to work.
What in tarnation? Am I hallucinating, or...
And there's a big green glowy face appearing before Thor. You know, of course, obviously, it's Loki. And Loki is cackling and...
How does it feel, half-brother, to be doomed while protecting these querulous, quavering sheep?
Loki, I knew you were deeper in this than thou didst claim. So this is thy plan, eh? To trap me far from Asgard when it hath need of me. Hast thou not considered the trolls?
Fool, you fail to appreciate the full glory of my scheme. Should thou fail to return in time, I become crown prince, true. But more, should Asgard fall, the trolls have promised it to me. Either way, my most hated enemy is crushed, and the crown of Asgard shall be mine! Mine!
And we then shift scenes to Asgard, where we have Thor and Baldur and other Asgardian warrior-type people, and they're getting ready for battle, and Odin is facing off against King Garoder's troops. And typical of Odin, he's getting dressed again. one of the soldiers is putting on his cape. It looks like a bear skin or something. And he's going,
thy battle cloak, sire. Thou dost stand ready for combat now. And with no time to spare, my faithful aid. For see, the trolls mass before us. And their intent seems anything but peaceful.
And Baldur is speaking up here. And here, Garoder himself approaches. Now we shall learn his true purposes. And yet, Thor hath not returned. I fear treachery.
Speak, Garuda. Why hast thou come before the appointed time?
Fa! There shall be no parley, Lord of the Aesir, as thou must already know. Thou wilt surrender Asgard and all her lands, or we attack now.
Attack, then. Thou wilt not find the defenses of Asgard wanting.
Be not so smug, old one. We know that Thor is absent from thy ranks, and that without his might you have no chance against troll weaponry. For we have labored long and hard devising weapons the likes of which the 9 worlds have never seen.
And they see like these ray guns, and this looks like a giant vacuum cleaner, and you have this little thing that looks like a little shuttlecraft thing.
Weapons such as the Negator Cannon, which can overcome even the Odin power.
Begone, troll. Thor shall return, and even without him, not all thy infernal machinery shall breach Asgard's walls.
We shall see, Odin. Yes, we shall see, says Garoder.
And he goes riding off, and he's actually riding on the back of like this dragon thing. It's kind of flapping around with him on the back. It's like, it's dorky looking, but it's cool at the same time. We ship back to Earth. There, Thor is still in battle with Torrent, and he's been trapped in this sort of yellow, piss yellow volcano thing, and it's being whirled around, and Torrent is gloating at him. He says,
"Not so comfortable now, Thor, are you? Not while I'm squeezing the very air from your lungs."
"Thor shall not fall, creature, though it take every last ounce of my strength. Thor shall be free!" And he bursts out of this tornado thing with a kazow.
And the Torrent is like,
"Yes, free, but exhausted. And now I shall..."
Maureen is like, "Carstairs, Carstairs, stop!" And she and Jane are kind of going running right up to the battle, which just goes to show how dumb they are.
"Maureen, so, finally seen the light, eh? Ready for me to take you away from all this? Make you queen of the world?
Of all the insufferable, arrogant..."
"Come now, Maureen, with the power I wield now..."
"I don't care. Don't you get it? You could have all the power in the world, and I still wouldn't care. I don't love you. I'll never love you. Do you get it yet?"
And Torrent's like, but... And obviously she's distracting Torrent here. And Thor starts to whirl his hammer around, and he's like,
"My thanks, good woman, for the timely distraction. But Thor hath caught his breath now, and that, now and for all eternity, is all he doth need."
And he hurls Mjolnir with a swoosh at Torrent. Torrent is still distracted. He's like,
but Maureen, no, if I can't have her, no one will. I'll unleash all my power at once. Level the city.
And Thor's like, "No, madman, thou shalt not. For even now my hammer whirls about us, creating a mystic vortex that will carry us far, far from the fields thou dost know."
And it creates the Ajax White Tornado, and you see lightning shooting out of it, and Jane is like, "Maureen, get down!" And we shift scenes to Asgard, where King Garoder and his troops are attacking. He's like,
"Now, my troll legions, their mightiest warriors gone, and their kingdom shall be ours. Show no mercy. Attack! Attack and destroy!"
And they all go running forward, and we see the Asgardians running at them from the opposite way. And we see Odin is taking the lead, and Mike Baron has, for some reason, just has this thing about horses shooting steam out their nose. It just looks dumb. I don't get it. And he's not riding Sleipnir either, which is, that kind of bothers me a little bit. But we got to see the Warriors 3 here, and Baldur, and Fendral's like, "For Odin! For Asgard!
For eternal glory of the gods themselves," says Hogan.
And charge! The trolls are like,
"Fire! Fire the Negator Cannon! Fell the Greybeard!"
And they attack, they hit Odin with it, and it looks like they're knocking him off his horse. And he's like,
"By Bor and Buri, that beam, a weakness assails me, envelops me. I cannot stay mounted, cannot stand. By the frozen wastes, the trolls spoke truth. My power flees me. But I must fight on. I must triumph. Or without Thor. Without Thor!"
And there's a crack of thunder, and you see clouds like forming right above the battlefield, and the trolls are like,
"The sky! What Asgardian trick!"
And we get this big explosion in the sky, and a big thoom, and we see that it's like a portal open up in the sky, and it's sending all the trolls all scattered around, and they're flying dragons, and their Kirby devices and stuff, the giant vacuum cleaner. It's like the new from Teletubbies. It looks exactly like it, except a few extra spikes. And they're like,
"Aye, what terrible farce is this? We are shattered, undone."
Thor and Torrent come falling down from the sky, and Torrent's like,
"Impossible! You can't have, won't let you!"
"But I have, Torrent. Asgard did need me, so I transported us to where thine unleashed power would do some good. And now I guide thy fall, so that..." And then this giant foom as they fall to the ground, and the trolls and all that are scattered. And Baldur's like,
"What miracle is this? In the heart of the troll fortifications. Surely this is an omen." Is a big explosion.
"The trolls are routed. They flee."
And Hogan's like,
"But what mystery? What force hath aided us?" No mystery, my friends, nor omen, says Thor, rising up out of the wreckage. Tis but Thor, returning in Asgard's hour of need. For I swore to be here, and here I am. And he's kind of knocked out Torrent. He's kind of laying there going, ugh. And we shift scenes to a little bit later, and they show that the trolls have been defeated, and everyone's going, Hail Asgard! And we see Volstagg, and looks like the seer from the framing story. They're kind of in the background carrying a spear. Looks just like him, really. And then we have Odin, and looks like he's knighting Thor, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay. And Odin's like,
Rise, Thor! Rise, my son, and let all Asgard honor thee. For thy steadfastness and loyalty are the equal of thy might, and thine actions today have proven once more thy worth as both God of Thunder and Crown Prince of the Throne of Asgard. And everyone's like, Hail Odin! Hail Asgard! Hail Thor!
And we shift scenes to a little bit later, where they're hanging around in Odin's throne room, and Odin has commanded that Gerodr be brought before him in chains. It's like,
Bring forth the prisoner! Bring forth the king of the trolls!
And a couple guards dressed in Kirby armor bring him forward.
So, Gerodr, thou dost dispute Asgard's sovereignty, eh?
He's all tied up, and he's got tied to this pole, and they're like, looks like they're dangling him in midair.
No, mighty Odin, the trolls do recognize the rights and honors set down in the old compacts. We were foolish and were misled by the honeyed words of Loki.
Oh yes, Loki, who even now rides hard for the northern wastes, and I have sent after him a cloud of stinging blood gnats to speed him on his way.
I didn't know that Odin could send bugs after people, but okay.
If he be wise, it will be long indeed ere he returns to the Golden Realm. Now know the mortal, says Odin.
We see that it's Karstairs is back in human form, and he's got like these Kirby high-tech handcuffs on, and he's being held by a god that looks a lot like Heimdall, though I don't know if it's actually supposed to be Heimdall or not.
And now the mortal, says Odin. What shall we do with thee, sirrah? What hast thou to say for thyself?
I don't know who you are, mister, but I think I want my lawyer.
Someone to plead on thy behalf? That is not the Asgardian way. Here we are judged by our deeds, by our metal, and on that score, Jared Karstairs, thou hast been found most wanting. But thy crimes are crimes of Midgard. Thy presence here, unwilling as it was, did aid Asgard's defense of her freedom. Thus it is the judgment of Odin that thou be stripped of thy power and return to Midgard, there to find whatever reward thou dost deserve.
And Karstairs is like, But you're leaving me with nothing! Nothing! And he vanishes back to Earth. And Thor is standing here and he's like,
The mortal authorities will deal with him, sire. But rest assured, my son, for one such as he, to be known for what he is and despised for it is the cruelest punishment of all.
And we then kind of shift scenes back to the storyteller and the two boys. And it doesn't look like they're looking at rune sticks. It's almost like they're watching it on a cosmic voyeuroscope. And again, the old man holding his staff with the griffin head on it. And
so ends my second tale. And its lesson, I hope, is clear. Loki and Torrent did both act from arrogance, dismissing the possibility of failure without reason. And so they fell.
And Wilf is like, And the third battle? What of... And they're interrupted by, kids' horse playing around. Remember the kids from the first issue, they're kind of playing battle. They're kind of interfering now with the storyteller. And they're like, Wilf, Uller, tourney's only 3 days off. Will you spend the whole time on your rears filling your heads with fanciful tales? Or will you spare a few minutes for training?
Indeed, younglings, what do you choose? Sword practice with your friends or my final tale?
And the kids are like, Well, what say you?
You should join us and learn something, says Wilf.
And Uller's like,
We could already beat you, Hagnar. One-handed and blind. We'll stick here. All right then, old one. We've... Eh? Wilf, he's gone.
But he was here a minute ago. How?
And they're looking all around for the old man, and all of a sudden they're surrounded by these black goats, which is a little bit strange because they weren't there in the last panel. And it was like,
this is most strange, Wilf. No one can move that swiftly, that silently. Not even our best warriors. Did you see anything? Not here, but Ullr, there.
And some distance away is the old man, and he's standing in front of this, looks like a gravestone. So it's probably a runestone. And he's like,
ah, there you are. I'd begun to think you'd lost interest.
But you...
A true Viking knows stealth and woodcraft as well as skill with a sword and shield, and he must earn his rewards. But enough of that. Come closer, fingerlings.
And showing him a stone, and it has these like really stylized figures, and Thor is one of the figures on it. Says,
come closer and see the tail stone. It will show us the third and final part of our legend.
And we shift scenes, you know, with the stone, and we see it's an oil rig in the North Sea. You get a little bit of narration here.
And it begins very near here, though many years from now, begins out in the North Sea, where men work on a great machine. A machine that seeks to draw oil from the sea floor, just as the mosquito draws blood from human flesh. That is out there? They'll build that thing right near our home? But... Silence now. Silence while you listen to the tale of the mighty Thor and the long-imprisoned storm.
So we see a crew, and they're working on this oil rig in the North Sea. And the one guy has what looks like a sort of amulet around his neck, interestingly enough. And he got these sort of, you know, typical worker types in comics, is sort of ugly mugs. And they've, you know, this kind of rugged-looking guys, the hard hats and shit. And this guy shouting out,
all right, men, I want the bit checked. I want fluids new and clean. I want no surprises. We break through tonight.
And we have signs in Norwegian here. And yeah, people are obviously, they're drilling for oil.
Strong and hardy men must work this vast device. But our tale concerned itself with one of them, the leader of this band of workers. Ullr, look! In the picture, around his neck, is that... And this man wears, as you have noticed, the stone chip given by Thor to a brave Viking chieftain ages before. I thought so. He's of our clan. He's our descendant. I said silence. Just listen.
And this guy is like, afraid I'm going to have to leave you in charge tonight, Mikkel. I've got business down in Oslo and it won't wait.
No trouble, Brom. What is it? A hot date?
Huh. If it was you going, you might think so, but for me, it is family business. My little sister, Bettina, she's due in on the Spirit of Norway at 5 o'clock sharp, and just once I'd like to be on time to meet her.
Well, you have a good time, boss. We've trained this crew well. We can handle the breakthrough on our own.
And we see that this Brom has gone to the ship. We cut to the ship, the Spirit of Norway, yeah, it's kind of this modern sailing ship. And we see, obviously, people on the cruise ship. And one of the guys looks a little bit familiar. I wonder who that is. We got a little narration here from the old man.
And as the man Brom traveled south, in a great southern harbor, a mighty ship made its way in, without sail or oars. A ship that could have held a dozen clans and more. But on that ship, a traveler gazed seaward. A traveler from a distant realm, yet as rooted by heritage to the Northlands as any.
And you have a young lady who's dressed in like a, you know, the cruise gear. She's like,
enjoying the view, Jake?
Ah, that's Jake. And he's like,
Bettina, hi. It's gorgeous here. It gets more beautiful every time I step out on deck. And here, check out what's been following us.
And they look overboard and there's seals there following the ship. She's like,
gray seals, how adorable. They used to follow the fishing trawlers like this when I was a girl.
This is the first time I've seen them outside a zoo, but seeing them here, it feels so familiar. What about you? Ready for the big reunion? You were all nervous about it the other day.
Still nervous. I only see my family between cruises, and we make the Simpsons look functional.
I'm sure you'll do fine. Your brother's meeting you at the port.
I should go change, but he'll be late, though. He is always late.
And they, the Spirit of Norway docks at the dock, and they're all kind of walking down, and Bettina's like,
I don't believe it. There, Jake, that's Brom.
And he's like,
hey, Bettina, thought I'd be late, eh?
Never entered my mind. This is Jake Olson, Brom. He's a passenger on the cruise.
Nice to meet you, Jake. So what brings you to Norway?
My family's from here originally. I've always wanted to come see it. And, well, here I am.
Thanks for keeping me company, Jake. Hope you enjoy Oslo.
And Jake is going off with his backpack and all that. It's like,
see you at departure time.
And Bettina goes off with her brother, who, by the way, hasn't changed clothes. He's still wearing the exact same thing he was wearing on the oil rig. Jake Olson goes off, and it goes off behind a truck. Rather than taking a taxi or whatever, he bangs his fist on the truck and becomes Thor. So this obviously takes place in Thor Volume 2, when Jake Olson didn't actually have to carry around that staff and just banged his fist. And apparently nobody notices that all of a sudden Thor is flying through the air here in the port, which is full of ships and people. Thor goes taking off, and he's like, ah, 'tis good to breathe the bracing air of the Northlands once more. But I cannot tarry, for I must seek out the source of the call that hath been ringing softly in my mind for weeks now. Must discover why I have been drawn back to these shores. And we kind of shift back a little bit to the kids and the old man, and they're looking at this, tail stone or whatever the hell it is, which appears to be changing. It doesn't ever seem to be very stable. And they're like,
wait, stop, please, a moment. The Traveler's Thor. But you said before he was a healer, a cripple, and now he's yet another man, a man who's never seen our lands. The Tale Stone says, who is telling this story then, you or me?
You, sir, of course, says Mr. Buttkiss, Mr. Wilf.
Then let us continue. Thor did search for the source of the call, while the Northman Brom and his sister did break bread in a small tavern.
Not much new, kid. I'm still out on the rigs. Dad's still fishing and cursing the day I was born. Mom sends letters, at least.
Me too. That's Mom, the eternal peacemaker, stuck in the middle. But you know, she says Dad wants to bury the hatchet, wants you to come home.
Last time he changed his mind, television wasn't invented. You remember what it was like growing up with him. Only you weren't expected to become a fisherman, and I was. Him and the uncles, always so tough, uncompromising, like sea-hardened wood. But I wasn't like that. I didn't have what it took. And I didn't want to be what he was, and he wouldn't settle for anything less. So I quit, and he disowned me. This is all stuff that she probably already knows, but, exposition.
He was angry, Brom. He felt like you were rejecting him and his way of life, but he loves you and wants you back. He just can't make the first move.
To him and the uncles, I'm a traitor, an oil man who abandoned the sea and their precious fish. He has Mom mail me articles about how the oil rigs might be changing the breeding patterns. But the thing is, I'm not one of them. I'm not a fisherman and never was. And how I make a living isn't his business.
Why are you checking your watch?
We're supposed to be breaking through to a new deposit tonight. A big one. Not long from now. Look, Bettina, let's go. We'll drive around, see the old hometown. Just don't expect anything to change. We don't do that anymore.
And we shift scenes to the oil well, where we have all the guys. And they have a black guy working on there. I didn't realize there were any black people in Norway, but hey, he's obviously American.
I don't know about this. We're deep. Deeper than we've ever been before. Sonar's been wrong before.
It's not wrong this time. Brom says deeper, we go deeper. We don't give up just because you had a hunch. Keep lowering, Lars.
Sure, Mikkel. I still say it's a waste of time. If there was anything to be found, we've hit it already. Keep going, Lars. But slowly, slowly, make the bit last. And you, Arnie, you know better than that. Sonar's no sonar. You know Brom's never been wrong. And he says he can feel it. There's something down there. Something big.
And we see the bit kind of drilling down into the seabed, and we see a little bit of a glow, a sort of malevolent glow, like a, you know, rogue storm that's been trapped underneath the sea, maybe? Don't know about that. We then shift back to the old man and the two kids, and they're at the tailstone. And it looks like all of a sudden they're in a cave, which is a little bit strange, but maybe just artistic license. And Wolf, the little butt-kiss kid, is like,
I know what it is. I know what's down there. Of course, Wollyhead. It's the God Storm, the evil storm Thor imprisoned there long ago. These future men with their device, they're going to let it out. Isn't that right, Elder? So what happens? Does Thor stop them? Do they all die? Questions, questions. The sky grows dark and the world falls into shadow. Not just in the tale, but in the world around us. We must pause once again. Huh? But your eyes may be like hawks, young ones, but mine are old and need both light and rest. So think on what you've heard for a night, and remember that at each step destiny is formed by a man's choices. The heavens swirl and the fates weave, but each man walks alone, and the paths he follows form the pattern of his life. Think on that, as I have said, and on the morrow there will be a new day of choices, of patterns and of time. Time enough, the gods willing, for the conclusion of our tale.
And we have a next issue blurb here. Next, the tale of the mighty Thor and the final fury of the God Storm. We have got a shot of Thor here whirling his hammer around, very looking all Kirby-ish. And that is Thor God Storm Book 2. And of course, I do have a few things to say about the issue, but we'll do that right after this important message.
Hey, Kiss Comics!
Hey, Michael!
Yeah?
We need to do a new promo.
A new one?
A new one.
Why?
Because we've moved.
Moved.
We've moved to a new place. We still read comics.
We do. We still talk about comics.
Because you can't do a comic book podcast unless you read and talk about comics, because that's kind of stupid. But now, we have a new episode still available every Thursday, but at twotruefreaks.libsyn.com.
Hey Kids Comics!
So remember, Hey Kids Comics has moved to twotruefreaks.libsyn.com. Still, every Thursday. That'll do, won't it?
All right, so I do just have a few comments here about God Storm Part 2. Having said a lot of what I wanted to say about the story in general last time, I really don't have a ton of things to say. Did I mention that people who talk in titles and logos bother me a little bit? And it's particularly a little bit awkward here when the longer the title, the more awkward it is. That being said, I think Kurt Busiek is doing a great job on this story. And because it's a 3-issue miniseries, and it has a solid story structure. You don't have to worry about, you know, the ongoing subplots, except as it relates to the story that he's telling in three parts. He has a pseudo Stan Lee-ish writing style, though better than anything Stan Lee used to write. You know, let's face it. I mean, Stan Lee wasn't known for incredibly nuanced and complex issues in the comics. And I think there's a whole lot more intellectually going on in this story than anything you would have found in the 1960s. Now, that being said, I am a fan of Stan Lee, and a lot of the stuff he did was groundbreaking and therefore definitely worth mention. Likewise, Steve Rude is somewhat less Kirby-ish in this episode. Now, the character of Thor is always drawn in a Kirby-esque style, but if you look at the other characters, in particular, look at Baldur or look at Odin, and especially on Earth, in the scenes with Jane and the girlfriend of the weather dude, those characters don't look like they're drawn by Jack Kirby. Those characters are very much in a Steve Rude style. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Steve Rude has a fantastic style. I think that last issue had so much in this Kirby-esque style. In this issue, they toned it down quite a bit. And particularly in the second part of the issue, in the chapter where we have Brom and his sister Bettina and Jake Olsen on the boat, none of that stuff looks very Jack Kirby-ish at all. So we have a markedly different art style. Now, of course, there's still some incredibly obvious Kirby touches, particularly with the trolls. In the scenes with the trolls, you have King Geryod and you have his armies, all of which look like they just leapt from A Tales of Asgard by Jack Kirby. The character of Torrent, I can just kind of take or leave. I like the fact that in the early part of the issue, he looks like a being made out of Kirby Crackle. I'm kind of wondering why nobody has ever done this before, because the effect is freaking awesome. I love it. And what is this with the horses blowing steam out of their nose? What is it about Asgardian horses, I guess? Is it Asgardian horses just kind of, you know, spooge out of their nose? I don't know. And it looks too solid to be like, you know, the air being cold. And yeah, it just looks like they're squirting some kind of white liquid out of their nose. And I don't even want to think about that. We do have some great scenes here. Thor versus the menace of Torrent, and Loki's figure in the sky, which looks nothing like anything that Jack Kirby ever drew. But it's still, nonetheless, incredibly, incredibly affected. I like in the thing where Odin is being attacked by the trolls and he's losing his ability, but he has that perseverance and he has this look in his eye that's like, because Odin is a badass. And I like when Odin is portrayed as a badass. That's always been one of my favorite things in these Silver Age comics, is that, you know, a guy who looks like Santa Claus a lot of times, he's a warrior god and he shall look like a warrior god. I like the fact that when he has the troll king brought before him, he's got him tied up and and in bondage. And you know, that's exactly the sort of thing I would expect from a ruler of Asgard, I have to say. The Jake Olsen stuff, well, you know, it's still at the beginning of it. We'll see where it goes. I can see that they wanted to bring in the current reality of the series. Obviously, at this point, there's no more Don Blake, so you have to be dealing with, you know, the characters that you're given. This Jake Olsen seems at odds with the Jake Olsen that we've read about so far in our exploration of Thor Volume 2. But then again, we haven't explored all of Thor Volume 2 yet, so maybe Jake Olsen changes a bit. Anyway, so another solid issue here from Busiek and Rude. And of course, looking definitely forward to Godstorm Book 3 next time. All right, so once again, you can email the show. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And we're also on the Facebook, so come join us over there. We had a flurry of new people join Facebook this week, and I will talk more about them next week. We had like 5 or 6 people join in one day, and that's fantastic. The more the merrier. We just love having people join. So with that, we are going back over the Rainbow Bridge back to Midgard, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is copyright Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all related characters are copyright Marvel Comics. Any other characters that appear on the show are copyright their respective copyright holders. We don't own any of this as much as we'd like to. The stories covered on this podcast are for entertainment, educational, and review purposes only. If you like what you've heard on today's program, please tell your friends, drop an iTunes review, or join our Facebook group. Music from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, is copyright Mott's Vent and is used with permission because Mott's is simply awesome. Radio Free Asgard should not be downloaded while pregnant, nursing, or operating heavy machinery, and we are not responsible for any damages incurred as the result of this misuse. Side effects may include being lost in a cave and finding a magical hammer and falling in love with Jane Foster. Once again, thank you for listening to Radio Free Asgard.